Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We're going to be talking about tuning our hearing, how to hear, the difference between our spiritual hearing, using our spiritual ears, and our soulical hearing, using our soulical ears. Now, we're using those terms just to be familiar with what we're talking about. When we talk about your spiritual ears, we're not talking about a different kind of physical ear that you have on your head. Likewise with your soulical ears. We can liken that distinction to the difference between your mind and your brain. Your brain is that gray matter that sits in your skull, and sometimes we use it, some use it more than others. But that's not your mind. Your mind is part of your soul. When you are thinking and reacting, it's what you're doing with it on an individual basis that makes you the unique individual you are. This is one of the problems we have very often with distinguishing other areas of ourselves, where we confuse the physical with the soul. And because we are not clear about that, we often transpose that onto our spiritual being. This is one of the reasons we associate and over-associate our identity with the physical. We are often classified by our physical rather than our soulical, even though that's a secondary trait we often look at. Because we are so used to that classification, we have a hard time thinking in terms of our spirit being. There's two kinds of spirit beings in this world: those that are dead in their spirit and those that are alive in their spirit. If you've been regenerated by Christ, and that's the only way it happens, is by accepting that new life from God, eternal life is knowing Him, then you are regenerated in your spirit. You cannot be more spiritual or less spiritual. You either are or you aren't. You're either a dead spirit being, in other words, that part of you that was created to be spirit is empty, or it's filled. It's like saying that God gets holier, or He loves more. To say that He has a range is to misunderstand His nature, His characteristics, that He loves one person more than He loves another. And this is part of our problem with trying to gain acceptance or love from Him, is that we feel or think, believe that we have to do something to earn it or to keep it, and that if we do something else, we can lose it or lose some of it, even to the a point where some believe they can become dead in their spirit again. And why we have developed some of these beliefs is because we don't understand the distinction in character, in nature, between our spirit, soul, and our body. Today, what we're going to talk about, though, is hearing. In the natural, I'm sure you realize there are different levels of hearing. And yet, we all have, for the most part, we all have the same ears. We have one on either side of our head. And they work, when you look at the dynamics of how they work and how they function, they're magnificent. The way they take in sound from all areas and funnel it and make it a sense that the brain can then interpret. But those are all natural functions. It's a natural ability that your body has. Now, there are things you can do to damage your hearing and improve it. But then, again, there's a limit to what your hearing is capable of. If you listen to music too loud, for instance, out of your little earbuds, you can damage your eardrum. You can scar it from having to work too hard, and then it will eventually not be able to provide accurate signals to your brain to interpret a sound. There's other things nutritionally and in what we eat and what we listen to, how we use our ears, that can either damage or enhance our physical hearing. But there's still a limited capability for our ears. For instance, you can't hear what a dog hears. You cannot hear with your natural ears the radio signals, the HD signals, the satellite signals, the solar signals that are even now bouncing into your ear. But the capabilities of your physical ear are structured in such a way to only hear a narrow range. And we could get into pitch and tone and value and volume, but the point is that the way your ear is structured in your body, it only picks up a narrow range. And then your brain is only set up to interpret a certain range. And as we recognize that, as we apply that to what we're learning about how we function as spirit beings that have a soul and live in a body, we start to ask those questions. Lord, is there something about my hearing that needs to be addressed? And when we talk to him about that, we are not talking to him about our physical hearing, even though we certainly believe in the healing and the restoration of our physical senses. But what we're talking about is our soulical ability. And we realize that our mind, will, and emotions, which those are basically what comprise your soul. And, of course, there are many other approaches to this. And always glad to hear what other people have concluded and come up with. If it works for you, that's fine. And by work for you, what I mean is what you're learning Does what you understand bring you into a greater recognition and communication with God? Not does it fit into your belief system, not, you know, does it line up with your doctrines, but is the end result that you can hear from God clearly and you know how to test it and you are then able to do it. God is so practical. He just wants us to know him face to face now. This idea that we don't enter into a relationship to him, a real relationship, until after we die and go to heaven or until the next big thing he's going to do, that's not his idea. His idea is that when we were re-spirited, re-enlivened, we now know him spirit to spirit. That's what he set the system up to produce. You are right now a son of God. And your goal right now is to learn to rule and reign. Part of that process is to be able to clarify in our own thinking the misconceptions, the misunderstanding we have about how our soul functions, how our body functions, and that brings us into a point where we can start to talk to God. God is your guidance counselor, okay? He's your pastor. He's your minister. He's everything you need. You don't need anyone else to know him now. You know, there's always this emphasis on fellowshipping with one another. But if you're not fellowshipping with God, it doesn't matter who else you're hanging around with. It's not God's idea of fellowship. And if you are fellowshipping with him, he brings to you who you need to be encouraged by and motivated by. So let's not look at what other people say we should be doing. One of the ways to know if you're on the right track, let's say, if you're moving in the right direction, is if you can say, I know how to hear from God, and I know how to test it, and I do that on a regular basis. We've talked before about the end result being available to God, and the main way to get there comprises two things, a negative and a positive, something you can do and something you have to learn to not do. And the learn to not do is rely on your own beliefs. Most of what any of us believe, including myself, is not accurate. We think we know what, for instance, we think we know what heaven is and hell and the angels and devil and, you know, the past, what the church is, you know, on and on. We think we know this because we've studied the scriptures or we've been to seminary or we're sitting under this teaching or we've applied our mind or we can just feel it or we, you know, something works in our life. When really what that's all about is that we know how to, we have tried things in the past and they seem to have worked for us. And because we have not learned to test what we believe, we accept what comes along. We interpret that God is generous and gracious and loves us. That when he heals us or when he shows up, it's because we're doing something right. Or we interpret that his action or activity on our behalf is an indicator that we're on the right track with him. And really what he wants to be able to do is tell you if you're on the right track. Is there an area in your life that he wants to deal with you about? He wants to tell you. It's not about your feelings. It's not about what you think or what other people say. And really, if you can't do that if for yourself, you have no business ministering to anyone else. And in a lot of ways, this is where the distractions have come in for so many Christians. We look at a large ministry and figure, okay, this person must know how to know God. They must have an inroad with God. They must have a special blessing from God. Absolutely not. Really, it's none of anybody else's business, except that the people who are listening to that person are continuing in those misconceptions because they're not being challenged. Is what you're being taught bringing you into greater dependence on God alone? Now, fellowship is fine, knowing other believers and having relationships and discussions is fine because it raises questions that they're dealing with, and we want to be able to learn from one another. Most of us learn from our mistakes, and I'd rather, much rather, learn from someone else's mistakes than from my own. If I can learn what you've gone through and what you did and didn't do, what you did that worked and what didn't work, I'd much rather, okay, that's something to remember. That's true fellowship. That's true walking arm in arm as the body of Christ. It's not being plugged into a church group or a movement or even on the in thing with God. You know, by the time something is an in thing, it's been on this earth for decades. I'm not concerned with what God is doing globally. I'm not concerned with what God is doing in my community or in my church. I'm concerned with what God wants me to be concerned about. Now, sometimes he wants me involved in what's going on globally or community or locally. But it's not because it will then tell me how to pray, for instance, or what I need to be paying attention to. It's when he brings my attention to something, and when he's drawing your attention to something, it means he wants to talk to you about it. He wants to train you, to teach you. Again, he's your guidance counselor. He's your personal trainer. Just as we hire personal trainers to get our physical being in shape, God is already, we don't need to hire him. He's already there to bring our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, into unity. And to do that, when you have a personal trainer, what do they do? They are an expert at how to use the equipment, what nutrition, what discipline, what motivation each individual person needs. And then they simply apply it. But they walk through it with you, item per item. They see the result that you can achieve and how to get you there. And they're there to help you. And that's what God is for us in becoming a complete, entire being, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus said that they would be one. One, as we become one completely in him, as in all becoming one in him, each one of us becomes one in him. And it is the barriers between your soul and your spirit that God is most interested in dealing with us here on this earth. When we talk about our hearing, then, we are talking about really receiving information from God. It's not limited to using our ears or receiving words or pictures or feelings or assurances. It's all the above and none of the above. Now, in my past experiences, I've had great opportunities to meet with some people who were very gifted by God, that on a regular basis had tremendous supernatural experiences that were extremely accurate and extremely helpful and insightful. What happens in situations like that is people think that God has gifted those people in one area. That must mean that their beliefs, their teachings, their doctrines are also approved of by God. But just as there are non-Christians who have similar solical gifts, it doesn't mean they are more blessed or closer to God in any way, shape, or form. Just as some have a greater musical ability or creativity or endurance, some athletes, it's not just about the physical ability in an athlete. There's something much deeper in their psyche, in their soul, that gives someone the drive, the motivation, the patience, the endurance, the focus to be a great athlete or to have great physical prowess. Likewise, intelligence. Intelligence is a combination of the capabilities in your brain mixing with a certain temperament in your soul, where there's this, the combined strengths come up with new concepts. You know, Albert Einstein's a great example of this. It's not that he had a particularly high IQ. His brain wasn't overly developed. But it was the combination of a capability in his brain and something in his temperament, his soul, that used that capability to think new things, to imagine and then interpret practically new concepts, think of things in new ways. And that's always been, for instance, the bottom line of scientific exploration. But that doesn't mean that they are more gifted or blessed, because what happens is we think of someone, for instance, we think of someone who can hear God so clearly in one area that everything they believe must be true. That if they're having these supernatural experiences, if they have nightly visitations from angels or God, or they pray for people and they're instantaneously healed, that that must mean that everything they believe or teach, God approves of. And that's just not true. That's why it is so, so, so important that each one of us be able to hear from God for ourselves and be able to test it. So it looks like I have a caller. Hope you haven't been on too long. But let me, it's from area code 972. Welcome to Prepare Radio. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I was just listening to you.
Great.
I was kind of wondering, what are you basing your theology and hope and the instrument? What are you basing this in Scripture in terms of the Holy Spirit imputes into an individual mind and consider with the fivefold and how he talks in Corinthians, all the Spirit works together in one, but it's not separate, but we're all in the same body. How are you coming in direct when you say that you hear from God individually, but we're not, each one of us is not some kind of finger, some kind of what, going outside the body, but we all connected, and how the Holy Spirit really brings us together as one. Because there is no long ranges in the kingdom. What you hear, is what God will perfect to me. And what will happen is our spirits are collaborate with confirmation. So we try the spirit by the spirit. So I'm trying to figure out how.
Those are good questions, and a lot of them I've addressed in the past. But just so you know where I'm coming from is I've been, like I said, involved in a lot of ministries before, and one of the goals we have in this ministry is to test what we've been taught and to really look at practically what we've been taught, because what we have a tendency to do is just start throwing scriptures back and forth and trying to, you know, one-upsmanship. You know, I can find a scripture to counter what scripture you've got. And my goal is to help individuals to hear God for themselves.
Well,
he does speak
scriptures together. Anybody can quote scriptures. I mean, that's not
exactly
the Holy. That's not spiritually. He says in the scripture. But God
When you start looking at what is actually in the scriptures, what they claim, what the Bible, our version of the Bible, whether it's the King James or whatever, the New International, whatever, when you look at what they claim, they don't claim to speak for God. So that's one of the things we want to look at is, are we putting, shall we say, are we trying to put words into the mouth of the scriptures? Because all scriptures point to a living God. And if God is alive and well, he's perfectly capable and does speak for himself. And when you look at the history of the book, what we find is it's only until this latest iteration of the Bible that it was treated the way we treat it. And even culturally speaking, there's a lot more versions of the Bible out there than I think most Western civilization Christians are aware of. And we have been taught that this is the standard by which we judge what we're being taught and what we believe. And not only does the Bible not claim that, historically, a number of people who believe that are Christians is a drop in the bucket.
Well, I mean, so
that's
what are you looking for when you say other scriptures besides the King James and other translations of the Bible? Because everything that's been contained in the Bible, it can't be in there. We already know that. That's scripturally proved. It says it's been revealed through the Spirit.
Those are exactly the things that I encourage you to go and start checking it out, because the scriptures don't claim that everything is in the scriptures.
Yeah, well, see, there's a lot of genealogy in the Word of God that's not in the Bible. We know that everything is earth-taken.
Well, let's talk about this, okay, rather than just going off. I've only got a minute left, okay, so I'm more than happy to, you know, discuss this with you. My email address is diane@wecanprepare.org. But basically, we've covered this. You know, I've been on the air for multiple years now. We've gone through this before, so I don't want to try to get a whole series in one. But what you'll find is the scriptures, the way the scriptures are presented to most Christians is not scriptural. Mm-hmm. If you're going to judge the scriptures by the scriptures, way too much has been put into what they say than really what they say. Pardon me?
Not scripture by scripture, but spirit by spirit, because that's his letter. It is revealed through the Spirit. I mean, that if you say scripture, God is identified through the Spirit. Just like with the Pharisees.
Well, I think what we'd want to do, and again, I've just got a few seconds left, so again, I just really encourage you to look at, you know, try to look at these things from a what-if-that-weren't-true kind of view. What if you were stuck on a desert island without a Bible? Would you be able to know God?
Well, how was the Bible written?
I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time understanding you. We've got a little echo. I'm not sure whether you're on a speakerphone or whatever. But like I said, I've got 6 seconds left, so I'm going to have to go. I'd love to hear from you. Again, it's diane@wecanprepare.org, and we can continue our conversation. Otherwise, I'll be coming back on next Saturday. It's great to have good conversations, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for tuning in. Have a great weekend.